Welcome to the Estate Professionals Mastermind Podcast, a podcast for estate professionals who earn more, work less, and make a huge difference in their communities. If you get value out of this free content, be sure to check out probatemastery.com, where you can get live classes, access to weekly coaching, and valuable courses. To learn more, visit probatemastery.com. Now let's jump into this week's content.
Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to our Tuesday Probate Mastery Real Estate Sales Coaching Call. I'm Bill Gross. I'm a real estate broker based in Los Angeles, California. I also have a national team of agents across the country. We're in Georgia and Florida, and I've done business in several other states and looking to expand. But I'm a practitioner here, and we do this every week to share best practices and to share victories, losses, answer challenges, questions, work together to improve our business. And we focus on this call on the representing of families in selling real estate through the probate process as real estate agents. Just some quick kind of housekeeping. The website for this program is probatemastery.com. People often ask me, where do I start? In my trek to build a probate business, this is the place to start. And there's a couple of different tracks. You can start off with the basics. I would say start there. It's free. And there's a couple of programs that hours of material on. And then you can get certified. Now, the certification does cost something. But and I think the thing that I would try to tell people is it's not the certification is going to earn you money because you have a certificate. It's not like magic pixie dust. But it is instead a great compilation of material that will separate you from the competition and help you market effectively for probate-based real estate. And then lastly, there's the individual courses and bundles. I paid for Probate Mastery. I've paid for the course and bundles. I'm a customer of this program and recommend it strongly. Now, you can continue the conversation in Facebook and the Estate Professionals Mastermind Facebook group with over 7,000 members. If you're looking for an attorney, looking for a realtor in a different state, here's a great place to put it and post your probate-related material. Separately, I host probateweekly.com every Thursday, 4 p.m. live, and we live stream that, and it's recorded at episodes.probateweekly.com. Love to have you join us there for a interview format on the topic of probate and related real estate. And then my Facebook group is Probate Weekly, where, again, we have a place where you can look for referrals and talk about it. My information, you go to linktr.ee/BillGross. And there's everything that I'm involved with and love to have you participate. In particular, I have a real estate email mastermind class that's coming up. And we do that as a way to build a foundation, which is your marketing to your customers. So again, probatemastery.com is the program. And this call is meant to be participative. So feel free to raise your hand or put a question in the chat box. Of course, after the call, you go in the Facebook group. But love to have you participate. That's the purpose of it. And I'm not sure really what else to say other than that. Oftentimes I'll start on my own soapbox on where I think business is. And I think absent, I don't see a hand up. I don't see any chat box. Usually what I do is I'll share my own 2 cents on the market and that will scare enough people into asking questions. So we'll start with that. One of the things I want to talk about is kind of the market we're in right now. It's really interesting to me how many people want to talk about the lawsuit as far as commissions, or where interest rates are going to go, or you know where the economy is headed, or political issues related to real estate. I think that the challenge for this time of the year is focus and clarity. And I talk about this a lot, but you know, on the commission lawsuit, for those of us in California, for sure, there's nothing else we can do. I mean, obviously, you want to follow the rules and tighten up your game. And if you work with buyers, take a look at the buyer agreement, make sure you understand how it works properly if you're not using it, and consider using it with buyers. I'm a listing agent, so I don't really work much with that. I've seen companies send me offers with a form that restates the commission. I find that interesting. Not sure why we need to do that, but I see that. I see other forms now restating agency requirement relationships. But what I want to say is, you know, you can control what you can control and you can't control what you can. And if you get distracted, you're going to waste energy on things you can't control. One of the reasons, one of my favorite activities is to listen to NFL quarterbacks and head coaches after they've lost. one of the consistent themes of those that are successful is you'll realize they always focus on things they can control. They're going to watch the tape, see what they did wrong and improve on it. They're focused on the next opponent. They don't talk about very often, things they can't control. Now, this weekend, there was if you follow football at all, it's a big controversy that one of the key players and coaches did complain a lot about the refereeing. And I think that, you know, that's the example or the equivalent of us as realtors talking about interest rates or the lawsuit, because you really can't control those things. It doesn't do any good to talk about it publicly. Certainly not to a customer. I had I was at a social event last night, and as happens, a customer walked up to me and asked me what I did, and I told him. And he went into, wow, this lawsuit's really going to affect your business. I don't know that it is or not. But here's what I know. Either way, I need to educate my customers on probate, how to avoid probate, how to work on it effectively. Either way, I need to reach out to my attorneys and see how I can help them with their business. So I think the key thing for now is, more than ever, focus on what you need to focus on. Make sure the main thing's the main thing. And probably you're going to have to increase whatever you're doing 5 or 10 times to keep the same business up next year, as I think that's going to be very competitive. So those are my main thoughts. I say that, and I'm taking off on vacation next week. I had planned the week of Thanksgiving, and one of my two grandsons was sick, and so we had to reschedule the trip for next week. So we'll go next week, and then let me see if I can do this real fast. I don't want to make a whole big production of it. Oh, here we go. Let's do this. 25%. Let's see if we can. No. There we go. I'm going to share with you guys something that I think you'll appreciate. So some of you appreciate is this is why I worked hard for the last 5 years, was to take these two along with their mother and father, my daughter and son-in-law, and my wife to Florida. So last night I had a social event and held my two grandsons. And I said, my daughter, I don't know. I want you to have a third. I'm sure I'm going to hold them all or walk very far with it. But that's why we work hard. That's why I work hard. 5 years ago, and again, I don't see any questions yet, but I'll just say 5 years ago, I was fired. I had been in management consulting for the prior 7 years recruiting. I was at a company that of their 5 or 6 branches, I was the top in terms of growth and recruiting. I certainly had things going that other managers calling me for help. And I remember one day I was called to the corporate office and the secretary said, well, what's going to happen? I said, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting fired as a joke. And for the first time in my life ever, I got fired. And I got into real estate not to work for the man, but I kind of got sucked into management about 8-9 years ago. And then decided I didn't like the company I was working with and then changed and worked for another company. And I'll say a couple things. The company that fired me, the owner didn't give me a reason why. He didn't tell the other management as to why. To this day, it's been now 5 years later. I still don't know why. He offered to hire me back a year later. I wasn't going to go back and work for him. He since had his license, I don't know what the term is, but affected by California Department of Real Estate, and lost his company. But when I started in probate 5 years ago, I had a vision that I was going to take my daughter and son-in-law and unknown grandkids at that time. They didn't have any grandkids then. I didn't have any grandkids then. And my wife on a luxury trip to Florida. Now you might say, well, why Florida? That's just where I wanted to go. It doesn't really matter why. It's going to cost a fortune. But 5 years of hard work, we were actually able to do that trip 2 years ago, but my wife started battling cancer. Thank God she beat it. She's cancer-free today. So we had the trip postponed a couple times and we're going to finally go. So it's been a rocky road, right? On one hand, we've had two great blessings and grandkids. We had a horrific 2-year period of my wife health-wise battling cancer. I've had a great run of my career, both making really good money, building an exciting business, and doing a business the way I wanted to. And that's the promise that I believe we can offer you here as a group. It's not that you should necessarily do what I did, but you should find your path. I think that together we can help you find your path, help you sing your song. And as a result, I think when you do that, when you're good at something, and the market needs it, and you do it in a way that's, at a high quality, then you get paid money and you have the freedom to enjoy it and the way that you want to enjoy it. And again, for me, the way I want to enjoy it is taking my grandkids and I have to also then take my daughter and son-in-law and wife for a trip. So that's where we're at. Okay, so let me look at the chat box real quick. I do see Yasser, welcome. Love to have you, first-time people. Team Julian Sam Limo. I'm currently struggling to get a response from my initial text. Here's my draft. Can you critique to what you would add for better response? Okay, yeah, I can help you with that. So I'm just curious, can I bring you in, Julian? Can we talk about this?
Yes.
So I'm just curious, where do you get the idea of sending this text?
You know, I did car sales for 17 years, got into real estate a year ago. Mm-hmm. So the idea of texting and emailing was working in car business. So I just drafted this based on my initial, what I've been doing over the years. But I'm trying to find a way to create some action. I'm getting responses on this, either they already saw them, they don't need one. But I think I've only got one that said, send me your license. And I got one that is not ready to take action. Mm-hmm. But out of almost 500 that I've sent, I'm not really getting a catch. So I want to see what kind of your experience about your initial response to probate.
And
people.
So these are just cold texts, or you bought the data from one of the data suppliers and you're sending out these texts?
Yes,
cold.
Because most of them I do not call. So the only way I can really reach out to them is text, because it's most of them I do not call.
Well, and so I don't want to, I'm not the text police. But I believe the same law says do not call also means do not text. I'm not here, again, I'm not here to police the situation. And I would say second that I think in marketing, if it's possible to make a living there legally and ethically, and you do it, good for you. I mean, I'll be happy for you. I think the challenge when we build our business just on cold calling or just on cold texting is if the basis of your business is you're either just more aggressive or you're willing to do what other people aren't willing to do on the marketing side, I think you are going to get business that may only appreciate that, and that's not a solid foundation for long-term business. The whole point of Private Mastery is if you can create for yourself an expectation or acceptance of expertise and or a holistic system to help people who may need it, then that becomes the basis of your business marketing. Then when people work with you, they appreciate and respect that. And so I would just urge you, I don't know anybody who's built a business in real estate on cold texting. I do know that every company that sells data tells you to do it. When they tell you to do it in a way that they cover themselves so they don't get sued. I believe you're exposing yourself to legal liability. Again, I'm not the text police, so I'm not here to call you out. I'm just urging you to be careful, because every year there's companies that are more and more aggressive on collecting fees from businesses like yours. And you've set yourself up, I think, to be a fairly easy target, particularly when you work for a big brand real estate company. It's just too easy. Because if they can find anything with your company name, I don't even want to say the name of your company, it's in the text, but I'm going to leave it out for your protection. If you can say anything with a company name on it and you, then they're going to sue even more so. And they find any training video that in any way they can say authorizes it, then they're going after big money. I would urge you to be really careful with that.
So does this apply the same thing with emails? Because the data that I receive gives me an email and a text.
Yeah, I personally don't do any cold text, email, calling, or mailing. I think that email is the same thing. There's a canned spam act. And I don't believe that buying data, even though the data companies will tell you to do it, I think that's just because they're selling the data. I don't believe they're getting paid to help you build a good, long-term, stable business. I think you're much better off texting, emailing your entire database of contacts of people you know, like, and trust that you have permission from. If your business in the past was cars, all those customers who gave you their emails and phone number to text. I think they're more suitable about your real estate business. And if you focus on them and content they find interesting, now you might say, well, they're going to unsubscribe me if I just send them stuff about probate. Okay, find something they're interested in. That's why I do a Monday morning podcast on the real estate market. I find almost anybody who knows me, likes me, and trusts me is open to getting information about the real estate market. So I would urge you to try to find some foundation to leverage the goodwill you have rather than focus on marketing to strangers using tactics that I think may cause you some legal issues. I think it's just a matter of time.
For sure.
Okay. Okay. I'm not the text police, but if you're on the phone call, my job is trying to help you.
Yeah, I think that's a good input.
Okay. Good. Well, thanks. Okay. Next is, I'm a full-time acquisition team and we've navigated away from text marketing. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, I think there's a time that worked for a while. And I think the legal services are increasing. At the same time, text is becoming less viable. I know I get a million texts a day now. I get a text at least one a day from companies offering to send me referrals. The teams I'm on, I feel with send me texts every day now, where it used to become a special thing. Now texting is just more, I get a lot of spam. And yet I do text my clients, but I would not text strangers, I don't think. Do your call does not apply text message per FCC website. Just check. I don't think that's true. I don't think you're allowed to text people called without permission. I don't want to have a debate on it. You're obviously an experienced, significant professional, and I respect your opinion. And I guess I would just say, I know there's opinions you can, and I think there are opinions you can't. But I would say that it doesn't matter if an attorney files a lawsuit and names you, and if you're with a big brand and the name of your big brand, your life will be miserable, whether you're right or wrong. One thing I've learned from my father, who's an attorney, is anybody can sue anybody for anything. And I wouldn't want to have to argue that in court. Aria says that they're in Colorado and probate leads available are only closed cases, and their competitors who market to purchase data on probate property while it's still opened, and how do they get into the PRs? Well, I can't speak, and maybe somebody else can or may not want to because they're in Colorado and keep it secret, but I can't speak to Colorado. I don't work on it specifically. But what I would say is a couple things, Aria. One is, the average property takes longer to sell than you would think, particularly in probate. Oftentimes people open it in probate and then find out they don't have all the paperwork put together and it expires or cancels. So you might want to be targeting those in particular. Another is probates often have multiple properties. So you might say, hey, I see you listed 123 Main Street as a probate property and that's already in a contract. I'm not calling about that one, but calling to see if you have other properties in other states. I'm part of a national network that might be able to help you would be another way. And I think the other way, Ari, would be to contact whoever's affiliated with a probate case, i.e. the attorney, would be another source of business. Now you're going to know who the attorneys are who have the probates, and those are the people you should be marketing to. So hopefully that helps. I don't know if you want to jump in, Ari. I'd be glad to chat with you more live if you want to. There you are.
Yeah, hey. So what did you mention on that first tip? You said, as far as, I just didn't hear it.
Right. Well, I think that like all real estate, sometimes listings expire or cancel. And I've seen properties that were for sale in probate that had been expired or canceled a year, 2 years, 3 years prior because they tried to sell it and then one of the heirs objected to it. They tried to sell it and the paperwork wasn't done right. And so I would definitely look for probates. Again, I don't know the Colorado law, so I'm not here to opine on that. But if you just want to find out where the properties are, I would say sellers of property that don't sell would be one. And then two, those sellers might also have other properties would be two. And then number three would be people who know those people, i.e. their attorneys.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Okay, next. Lilia asks, what's my approach? Did I use a marketing? So Lilia asks a great question. What do I do? Now, I want to say that we all should find our path in life. So I'm not selling any path. I'm not even selling the Prairie Mastery Coaching. I am publicizing it. I'm advocating for it. But I'm not saying that it's the right answer for you necessarily. You should ask the question. I think it's worthy of asking the question. I don't want you to spend your last couple hundred dollars on the program. That wouldn't be responsible. I want you to make proper investments in your business. So I'm not here to advocate anything other than you should create a plan for you. And so Lily, to answer your question, before I answer it specifically, what my approach was when I got fired by that manager 5 years ago, and I just thought, what a jerk. I mean, just really, I'm way more viable as a salesperson than a manager anyhow. And so I'll just go about doing that. So what I did was I looked for the intersection of three, what I would call concentric circles. And so you want to think about three things. I made three lists. I have a whiteboard in the other room, a big, it's on rollers, and it's, I don't know, about 8 feet long and 4 feet, 5 feet high. And I wrote out three lists. One, things I'm good at and my assets. So my assets were certain skills I have, as well as I had a database of people that I knew, a lot of realtors, a lot of other people. Those were under assets. I like dressing up and going to court. I like wearing a suit and tie. I buy Brooks Brothers shirts and ties and suits and like that. Some people don't. Some people hate that. I live fairly close to court. I live 30 minutes from the largest probate court in America. Not all of you do. So for me, a 30-minute drive was doable. And I was willing to get up and be at court at 7:45. So I took my assets and strengths. I took what I liked to do and didn't like to do, right? Didn't want to cold call where I'd done it. Didn't want to door knock. Not efficient for me. But I did do certain things. Well, I'm good at networking and meeting people. So those are things I'm good at. And I took things that the market needed. And when I researched probate, I found that attorneys don't do a good job of serving their customers most of the time, that customers need more explanation, need more resources in the probate process, and that the realtors there were just, for my money, mostly slimy, focused on double-ending deals and almost stealing properties to flip them, not on servicing customers. That's what I discovered. May not be true in your area. I put together then a plan that used the intersection of those three. What I'm good at and had, what I like to do, and what the market needed. And so I started going to court every day. My lead generation was going to court every day for 3 or 4 hours. I was there from 8:15 till 10:45, 3.5 hours a day, or 2.5 hours a day, I guess. And I was there to generate 1.5 contacts, names, address, phone number, email address per day. And I did that until COVID hit. And when COVID hit, I went back to the same process and discovered that I was really good on video and doing online marketing. And so move my marketing all online. So that's what I did. But I would just caution you, I'm not saying that's best for anybody but me, because I did an analysis on what was good for me. And I would urge you all to do the same process. And I do offer, if you want to give me a call, I try to walk people through that process on a free coaching call for 15 minutes, 30 minutes. But those are the three questions to ask. What assets do you have? And what are you good at? I mean, what skills do you have? What do you like to do versus what do you not like to do? And what's the market need in your market area? And if you find those three intersections, those three, you'll find your successful business.
So can I jump in? So when I listened to your video about going to court, I did went to court. Actually, that's how I found it on YouTube. So
nice.
So when you go to court, most of the clients are already being represented there. So were you basically targeting the lawyers, or what was your, you were targeting the lawyers as
right. I think that marketing activity should do three things. It should educate you. it should give you prospective customers and prospective referral sources. So I went to court. I learned every day how the court worked. To part, I became the expert on court sales. Nobody saw as many as I did in that 3-year period. I probably saw more in those 3 years than any judge or attorney has in 10 years. Number one, I learned. And that education became valuable. It was a weapon. And I learned how to use that information to get business, so I talked to people. Number two, there are plenty of people there who had an attorney they didn't like, or trying to do it on their own and need an attorney, or just fired an attorney they didn't like. And there are attorneys there who needed real estate help as well. So there's plenty of leads there. I just, you know, I think sometimes people look for it to be easier and faster. And I just took the approach that, you know, if I work at it consistently, I'll develop a good business. And so, yeah, many people already have a realtor and they're happy with a realtor, but there's plenty who were unhappy or didn't have a realtor, and I was there to meet with them. Okay, does that help?
Yes, it does. So one more question, so I'll let you go. So do you think the people that do the petitioning, they come to court without a realtor? So I can be at the courthouse just to wait for the people filing?
Some don't. They can't really, in California, they can't have a contract that's binding without the authority being issued. So even if they think they have a realtor, they don't have one. You know, I used to have a saying, I'm married, been married 37 years, but when I was single a long time ago, if I was in a bar, I never asked you if you had a boyfriend, if you're a pretty woman. Yeah. Because if you're in a bar and I offer you, buy you a drink and you say yes, you may think you have a boyfriend, but you don't have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So if I'm at court and I'm talking about probate real estate, you may think you have a realtor when you walk in the door, but you may not when you walk out the door, or it might be me.
Okay.
I'll be good
tomorrow.
Very good.
Thank you.
And Bill, can I chime in here and just ask, what does that process look like? Are you jumping in and out of court like per case and then kind of shoulder tapping on these folks, or
no?
Are you just writing down their information, or what does that look like?
Yeah, I don't want to be an ambulance chaser. And so again, the marketing should do three things. One is educate. So I'm there to learn first. Now, in California, Aria, where do you business? I think you said Colorado, right?
I'm in Colorado, yes, sir. Yep.
So in LA County Court, generally speaking, the 830 court is a very high speed, high level summary of calendars being set. So you're not really hearing things. There's not decisions typically being made there. So I was seeing who the attorneys were. I was learning how many customers had bad attorneys, how many hated their attorney, how incompetent many of the attorneys were. I learned that. I'd occasionally see people who needed help. And from the audience, I would send them an email or a text they would get when they got out of the courtroom saying, hey, I saw you had this challenge on this. Maybe I can help you. The court was scheduled to start at 8:30, often didn't start till 9 or 9:30. So I'm in the hallway from 8:15 until that time, meeting people. Hi, I'm Bill Gross. I'm a realtor in the area. You know, what brings you here today? Oh, we're here for a probate case. So I just walk up and meet people and talk to them that way. And I'd see attorneys and introduce myself. I got so involved going there. Again, this was pre-COVID, that I actually created a meetup for investors and families. And I would give them a tour of the probate court from 8:15 to 8:30. And so attorneys would see me walking around with 2, 3, or 4 people and go, who are you? What do you do here? But it certainly looked like I knew what I was talking about. And again, part of the key for me was I dressed like an attorney, which in LA County means dark suit, white shirt, colored silk tie. And I had a roller case, it's in the other room, that like the attorneys, when they have a case, they bring a roller case with their file. So I was a prop. So I looked like an attorney. That was the key part. I had business cards. I had a second set of business cards that were just plain black and white, like attorney's business cards, with just the name, address, phone number, and email address on it, and license number. So again, it was a process there. And then when the 8:30 cases were over, usually 9:45, 10 o'clock, I would go to the research room, and there would often be petitioners there or attorneys there in the research room. But that was LA County. Every court's a little different. And so I advise you to go for about a week and do some reconnaissance to understand how the court's laid out and what your opportunities are in your court. Because what matters is how it is in your court, not how it was in mine. Okay, does that help?
That's gangster, okay. Bill. Great job. Thank you.
Sure, thank you. Okay, Lilia, I think you answered that. Kesey Chase, did you say you do not cold call in private? Correct, I don't cold call. Can you talk a little bit about some practices for starting marketing or building relationship with PR? So is it Kesey Chase, Kesey Chase? I'm not sure how to pronounce the name. If you want to jump in here, I'd be glad to. I'm sorry?
Kesey.
Hey, Kesey, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. So I think the thing that I'm hesitant always to answer, you know, I think that many of the companies that sell probate data, not leads, because it's just data they're selling until you talk to them, they're not a lead, is to them, you know, they're selling hammers and the world's a nail. So they're going to teach you the one method that works for that, which is cold call those people, or maybe mail, which is expensive and takes a long time, or maybe cold text or email like Julian was talking about. I'm the opposite, and part of why I'm involved with Probate Mastery specifically is that I really think that you should create the right approach for marketing your business for you, not for me, right? Or not for the company, or not for the data company. So I could ask you a couple of questions if you want to. I could be a little personal, and we could do that for everybody's benefit. And you can even make up answers and they'll at least be beneficial. How's that sound?
Sounds good. I do want to say that I'm actually in operations. I'm not a realtor.
Okay, so therefore the problem. So I would say if you're a realtor, the questions I would ask would be like, are you brand new, you know, middle and struggling, or established looking to do more? Because I think the right marketing of probate would be different for those three stages. Okay. I generally discourage new agents who haven't listed and sold property from starting a probate, because I think that by their nature, probate transactions are more difficult. And when you're brand new, you have less skill and usually less resources. So why start with what's harder, unless you have a team leader or a mentor that can help you with those things when they come up? So again, it depends on, I think, what stage you're in. If you're brand new, if you're maybe, you know, an experienced agent, but struggling, i.e., 2 years ago, I sold 10 houses. Last year, I sold 7. And I haven't had a closing in 3 months, and I'm starving. There's a different answer for that person than the, I close 10 or 20 every year, and I'd like to add another 5 to my business. Those are different answers. And I always start with any marketing with your fundamentals. You know, you have the foundation in place to build on top of. So to me, the foundation is your database or your CRM or your COI, sphere of influence, your sphere of influence, your METS if you're a Keller Williams agent. You need to be collecting every name, address, phone number, email of everybody you've ever met, organize them appropriately, and then use that to help you determine where to attack. And so whichever way you're going to market to people, you better include a way to continue to market to them forever, or else, and it better be efficient, it should be automated, easy for you to do. Otherwise, what happens is too many people will cold call, but they because those people aren't going to set an appointment right away, they're going to cold call new people next month and new people next month. And the few they talk to, because they're not in their database, they're never going to get the person who decides to sell 2 years from now. You want to build a business where 2 years from now, you're both generating new business, and then people you talked to 2 years ago are calling you back saying, I'm now ready to sell my house. If that makes sense. So again, it depends on where you are in the marketplace. And so as far as how you would start your business, I would say it depends on where you are. And I would walk you through those three processes. What are your strengths and assets? What do you like to do versus what do you not like to do? If you said to me, I love going to networking events, I would go to networking events. If you said to me, I hate networking events, but I love being on the phone, maybe I'd cold call. If you had success in cold calling in the past, there are people who have great, deep experience in digital marketing from other businesses, you know, the men or women who created a line of clothing they sold online. Well, maybe you can use that in your real estate practice. So I would do an assessment of what assets you have and strike that. I've had, you know, people who are struggling who had their best friend worked at a senior housing placement office and, you know, got one or two sales a year from them, didn't realize that company had 25 other salespeople, that you can make a whole living just marketing those salespeople, for example. So it depends on you. And I don't mean to avoid your answer. I want to say I respect you enough to say there's no right answer for everybody. My goal would be to help you find your right answer. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Okay. So best practices in marketing, building that relationship with the PR. I think I covered that. Okay. Lily says, can I share the video that I created? I'm not sure which video you're talking about. I create a lot of video. You go to my YouTube channel is at Bill Gross Probate. And I'll share it here in the link. But I have a million, I hope I have a lot of interesting content for you guys. But you know, I'll let you guys tell me if you think it's worthwhile or not. And here is the channel.
And welcome to my YouTube.
And there's a channel right there. And I just will put for anybody who wants anything that I do, here's a link to my link tree. And you'll find kind of all my programs and social media and all that if you're interested. Okay. So again, Lily, I don't know which video I talk quickly and I don't remember what I say sometimes. So if you want more specific, maybe I can copy the particular video you're referring to. Okay, Sheila says I cold call daily and last year I closed 16 homes with 5 of them being from probate leads. Good for you, Sheila. Sheila, where do you sell real estate? No, okay. Sheila's muted and camera off. So that said, yeah, I think everybody's answer is different. And if Sheila closed 16 homes and all from cold calling and 5 from probate, what I'd say to Sheila is if you're that good, I wouldn't stop doing it, but I would make sure that I was leveraging my time and leveraging that good work you're doing by making sure that I accumulate everybody I talk to and stay in touch with them using social media, email and videos and such, so that hopefully 2 years from now, you have more people calling you back that you don't have time to have to reach out individually. So hopefully that's something you can build towards. John, I'm not sure if you're asking a question. Okay, we got you muted. Got it. Okay, good. Other questions, comments, problems, challenges? And I don't mean make this sound easy. This is tough business. I work at it every day. I mean, I haven't taken a listing in a couple of weeks. So I'll be honest with you. I haven't worked that hard the last couple of weeks. I was supposed to go on vacation before Thanksgiving. And my grandson's had Grandparents' Day at school. And he had it's Hanukkah. And I'll be honest. Okay. True confessions here. I haven't been working all the hard the last few weeks. But I am working this week. I won a listing. So I'm shaking the trees, I'm making phone calls, I'm doing videos, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do to generate business. And so I have a listing I got that the seller kind of flaked out on. So I basically called her before this call and we're canceling that one. And I closed a couple of deals and I closed a deal last week. I'm closing a deal hopefully this week. So I'm engaged in the business full time. It's not easy. It's a lot of things, but it isn't easy, but it's worthwhile. And it certainly is fulfilling to help people. Okay, 40 minutes in. We got about 19 minutes left. Yasser agrees. Thank you, Yasser. I always think more of you when you agree with me. You love what you do. Yeah, I love what I do too. I have to say, I don't love every minute of it. I'm reminded of Kobe Bryant's last night playing for the Lakers. He scored like 60-something points. And one of the reporters said, well, gee, why are you retiring if you can still score 60 points? And he said, I'm not willing to do all the things I have to do to be at that level. And I'll say, I'm not willing to do all the things I used to do to build my business. I'm not willing to go to court every day. In fact, I'm less willing to go to court than I used to be when I was looking for chances to go to court. I'm less interested in going to networking events. Unless I host it myself, I'm just not really going to go. But I also am 64 years old, and I've made really good money the last few years, and want to just do the fun parts of my job more and less of the hard work. If I was 40 again or 30 again, I would be different. And I share some of the challenges I face over the years. I'll say that I'd say a couple of things. Number one challenge is, the market has challenges. The market goes up, the market goes down. And I think that as much as I gave lip service to, and I read a lot of motivational books and had coaches, I do think that when the market got tough, I was too quick to make changes externally. And I think had I been more diligent and committed, I would have worked through that time. Because looking back on my career, I see all the people who've had amazing success, almost without exception, stayed at the same thing that entire time. So that'd be number one. I think that now I will say, for personal reasons, I moved markets 25 years ago. I had no idea how hard that was. So 25 years ago, I was about 40, 39 years old. And my wife and I wanted to move from suburban Los Angeles to West Los Angeles in a completely different market. And I both didn't value the old business as much as I should have and had no idea how hard it was starting over again. That was in one of the challenges. And so really starting from scratch. I'd say second that, I think we all want to believe that when people tell us that we're special, they have our best interest in mind. And I came to realize that most everybody's flattery was always self-serving. And even people who coached me and mentored me, most people's business are in it for themselves. When business is tough, almost everybody is in it for themselves. In fact, I'll say most people would sell their soul to the devil for one more commission check. And I know I say that intellectually and I repeat that, but in the moment I would forget that and trust people. And I was way too trusting of other people having my interests at heart rather than really searching and discovering for myself what was best. And so in retrospect, I think some advice I got, I was, and so starting business over again, changing companies was for reasons that didn't really follow through, promises that never came through from other companies I went to, and trusting people. Those would be some of the challenges. What other challenges are there? I'm not sure. I think there's anything in particular, Cassie, that you have in mind, but those would be some. Well, personal life, my wife being diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago, I was really on a roll business-wise, and I think she spent about every other day in the hospital or some sort of doctor's office for 2 years, and then driving her, picking her up, visiting her for 2 years. It had a physical toll and an emotional toll. That was by far the hardest thing of my life, I would say, the last 2 years. Doing that at 63 years old was probably the hardest thing of my life. But, here we are today. She's cancer-free and holding our grandkids. So, it at the end of the day, I think those, as hard as those things are, at the end of the day, that's what makes life worthwhile is pushing through those hard times. In fact, since you guys were all begging for it, I'll show you real quick. That was me last night holding my two grandsons. So asking my daughter, because my daughter and son-in-law are planning on having another child, at least another child. I don't know if I can hold three, but I'll try. Like, don't let that hold you up. So there you go. Okay. That's the more personal I usually get. I don't know how you hit me on that one, but there you go. Okay. Other questions, comments? I don't see any hands up. The wins make up for all the losses. The losses no sooner for the wins. Yeah. I will say yes, sir, that everything, if you believe in God, and I do, and you believe he loves you, and you believe he runs the world, then it's really all for the good. And I will acknowledge that the hard times I went through strengthened me for the positives I have now. So, yeah, definitely I would agree with that. Okay. Dude, I have more success targeting lawyers I think you mean petitioners. I don't know. I would say which one more success. Pre-COVID, I met more petitioners going to court. Post-COVID, I have more success with a few attorneys on referrals. Referrals, you need fewer people, so you're targeting I literally target every attorney in LA County, thousands of them, but I only need 3 to 5 to make a great living. But they're much harder to get through than you would ever imagine. Much harder to get business from attorneys than you would ever think. Hope that answers your question, Julian. And then Atif asks, does every state have probate court? Atif, what state are you in? New Jersey. Oh, I don't know. I imagine, I think there you call it, what's the term? I know the term in New Jersey. They call it orphans court. I think it's orphans court in New Jersey, but they have surrogate. There you go. Surrogate office. Yeah, you guys have surrogate office. You have court in New Jersey for sure. To go back a little bit, do I have more luck targeting at probate court petitioners or attorneys? I would say both. You know, here's another one though. There's petitioners I met cold, there's attorneys I met cold, but I also bumped into people that I know. There are attorneys who I know, they're probate attorneys, but because I went to court, I saw them walking through the halls of the courthouse. And as a result, one of them has been one of my best customers that I knew him really well. I would say at one time, he was one of my best friends. I didn't know he did probate, but I saw him in court. And as a result of that, he called me the question one day that led to probably $3 or $4 million of probate real estate I sold through him. A lady who we met, I knew her. I really knew her mother when she was younger. And then later, my wife and I went to a dinner party where she as a young adult was at. And then I met her in probate court. I bumped into her in probate court. What are you doing here? It turns out she had an estate with a bunch of property I sold, millions of dollars. So I would say not only did I meet attorneys, not only did I meet petitioners, I also met people, attorneys and petitioners I knew, but I didn't know they had probate business. And that's if there's one message that I repeat, I know some of you are bored to tears hearing it. I know, Janie, you must hear this every time we talk, is the number one source for business and probate is the people that already know, like, and trust you. And if you're not willing to work with those people, you're blowing it big time. That's the biggest mistake you all make. Because you all know people, you just don't know that you know them as probate attorneys or as probate petitioners. But I am telling you, for those of you in real estate, I forget who it was that said they sold 15 homes or something. I am telling you that of all the people you know, a bunch of them have family members who died, family members of family members who died, friends whose family members died, spouses who work in law offices, and you don't know that spouse may work in the law office of the biggest probate attorney in your market area. It's just, I hear these stories all the time. So I would definitely urge you to go deep with the people that you have business with. Rob Ishihara said, I called 70 attorneys yesterday, had one positive conversation, like result in relationship. Most seem to want to avoid me. Well, look, Rob, I would say that 1 out of 17 is about what cold calling is like. I mean, that's welcome to cold calling. I used to cold call every day for 4 hours expired listings. And my goal would be to get 1.5 appointments set per 4-hour session. And I was diligent and I would talk to like 50 people in 4 hours. So 17 you talk to get one conversation, that's kind of what cold calling looks like. Now, I do know that Bruce Hild, Proprietor of Probate Mastery, does a class on cold calling, does a great job on it. So you might want to look at that to get better on your skills. Because I think when you cold call, you have to really know your numbers. Any marketing you do, you've got to know your numbers, your conversion ratios. I track every week subscribers, email opens, clicks. You know, you can't just say do social marketing and do it haphazardly. You have to do it professionally to be competitive. Same with cold calling, same with mailing. If you're going to mail out pieces, how many call you per mailer? How many click on whatever it is per mailer? So you're going to definitely go to court and try to establish relationships with probate attorneys. And Rob, what's interesting is you talked to 17, of which 16 were positive. But if you remember the names and you go to court, you might see one of those and you could say, hey, I'm Rob. I called you the other day on the phone. I don't know if you remember me. But again, I just think it's another way to get your name out there is to go see them in person. And I also really believe in marketing, that marketing should be multiple prong, and they should be, I think the term is interlocking fields of fire, like in the military, like they shoot at you from two different angles so that you can't hide behind a rock. I think in marketing, the same thing. You want to email and social media and call and see them in person. And hopefully those four methods, there's some overlap. I go to a networking real estate event every month. And at one of the events, I met an attorney. I met up with an attorney who I also had met when I was cold calling at court, who I also subsequently called on the phone and interviewed on my YouTube channel. So how did I get his business? Did I get it from the court? Did I get it from the YouTube channel or meeting him at the real estate marketing event? The answer is all three, right? Each of them move the ball forward a little bit. So you definitely need to have multiple interlocking fields of fire, I think, to be successful. State Bar has an email address. Okay, yes, but I will say emailing cold. If you talk on the phone, I think you always send an email cold as a thank you. Hey, Bob, it was great meeting you. I think that's different. And that, I would do that right away. So now you're not cold emailing them. You're following up your phone call with an email. But yeah, in California, the State Bar does have their official email address and mailing address and phone number. And it is a good way to get their information and reliable. And I would definitely then add them in my CRM and send them material from that point forward. Okay. Well, we got a couple minutes left here at most. Any last digit? I don't see any hands up. Any last digit questions? And yeah, and so who said that? That's Rob. So Rob, what CRM do you use? You say you reached out to them on LinkedIn. That's great. You use MoxieWorks. Great. And what kind of content do you send out to people to stay in contact with them? So what I'll tell you guys is probably a flowchart and YouTube videos. Great. I will say I send out, everybody gets added into my email flow. Everybody gets a weekly real estate market update. And then hopefully it drives them to my YouTube channel. If they subscribe there, then they're kind of in the whole thing. Casey, thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you and chatting with you. Even if you are an administrative and not a salesperson, let's get you into sales. Let's get that career change going for you. Make a fortune.
Bill, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Who's that? I'm sorry. I typed it over here, but maybe you couldn't see it. I'm working on a probate listing right now, and the property is in Pixley, which is in Tulare County. It needs a lot of work. It needs a complete rehab, and I already have photos and the cost estimate. Should I send that out to the court ref before he does the appraisal?
Okay. So first question for everybody on the call. Pixley Station. Anybody can associate a TV show with the Pixley Station, you'll get extra points. Feel free to put that in the chat box. So Regina's question is, in probate court, separate from the buyer getting a loan and maybe needing, there you go, Janie wins. That was, Janie, you're showing our age, that you think that's funny, tells me you're the same age as me. In California, in addition to maybe the buyer buying the property, needing an appraisal, doing an appraisal, there's a process in probate court called a probate referee, which is basically an appraisal of the value of the property at time of death, and if it needs court approval, within a year of the court hearing date, required for all probates in California. So she's asking, much like we as realtors would send comps to an appraiser, would you send comps to the probate referee whose job it is to get a value for the property? And the answer, Regina, is 100% yes. Number one, if I was a probate attorney and I said, if you were a probate attorney, and I said to you, Regina, one of the things I do to help you and your clients get a better outcome is when we get a probate referee's contact, I send them comparables of the value of property, get the best possible probate referee inventory and appraisal report. Because if it's too high, it gives grounds possibly to an objector. Oh, the probate referee valued at $400,000, it's only worth $300,000. Well, the probate referee, at least that I'm familiar with, they don't go in the property. It's at best a drive-by. I don't believe they even drive by the properties anymore. I think they just do it from the desk. So they don't know that the property is fenced with weeds 10 feet high and the ceiling's fallen in from neglect. They just go on to Zillow and saw it sold 5 years ago, and they assume it's a three-bedroom, two-bath, and that's what it sells for. And so that's why I send out comparables to the probate referee with the condition of the property, with the photos of the interior, and explain why the property isn't habitable. I had one where the customer, the decedent, died in the property in July in California and was unattended for 10 days and had tremendous odor as a result, the way to remove the carpet and the drywall. And I sent those pictures to the probate referee to get the value to be accurate. So one reason why you do it is, number to get your probate referee report back quickly, because they can take, by California law, as long as 60 days, which is pathetic. Number two, you're going to get a better value to avoid potential problems with your probate case, because if it can only be bad if it's too high. If it's too low, it's not a problem for you at all. In fact, the lower it is, the lower the fee is to the estate as well. So you're also saving them some money. And number three, you think a probate referee might buy or sell a house sometime?
Yeah.
You think a probate referee might sometime have somebody call them and say, hey, my uncle died. I'm in probate. What do I do? How do I get this property sold? You think they might be a good source of referrals for you? So I've not received a referral from a probate referee, but I've sent out comps on every single one, and I do my best. And there have been occasions I've got them to bring the value down because I had met them on a prior case, and I made sure the attorney knew that, and that's why the attorney should pick me rather than the competition.
Mm-hmm.
How's that sound?
Thanks. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Now, Regina, you didn't answer the question. From what TV show is Pixley known?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Petticoat Junction? I mean, I don't know.
There you go. There you go. Actually, it's two, because there was crossover. It was Petticoat Junction. In fact, Jane, you only get half credit. There's two. It's Petticoat Junction and Green Acres.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
There you go. Okay. That's some 1960s TV trivia. For those of you born after the 60s, if you don't know that, the reason why was, unless you're watching a rerun, you wouldn't know that. Okay. I think we'll wrap up here because we're coming up on the hour. Thank you, those who had great questions today. Casey, thank you. And always a pleasure to see you, Janie and Regina and Yasser and Rob. Thank you for sharing. And I know I'm leaving somebody out. Team Julian, thank you for being in there. And everybody else, thanks for participating. This is meant to be participative. We all learn better when we share, work together. That's the purpose of this phone call. We do this every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. ProbateMastery.com is the program that this is part of. There's the free material you can get here as well. As well as if you want to get certified, get more information on the website, ProbateMastery.com. Additional courses are as well as bundled. And there's a Facebook group to continue the conversation, Estate Professionals Mastermind. We have over 7,000 members. Feel free to ask questions, look for referrals and such, continue the conversation, ask questions. I'm in there regularly as well. Post your probate content. I host probateweekly.com, which is an interview format. Love to have you guys join me for that and give me feedback on what you think of that. Past episodes are at episodes.probateweekly.com. And then I have a Facebook group, Probate Weekly, where we continue the conversation. And lastly, my link tree for my contact information, linktr.ee/Bill Gross for all my contact info. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate those who came in and supported. Have a great week, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Oh, great.